I tell people all the time, say hard place. Say it again, hard place. This is a hard place, guys. And the more truth you know, the more the enemy is going to come against you, because you're a carrier of the truth of the living God. And so Al was preaching or praying about God healing us. But the Bible says that God desires us to be prosper and be in health, what? Even as our souls prosper. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen. And so what has to happen in order for your bodies to be healed from dis-ease is that your soul needs to be healed of dis-ease. Okay? And we have a personal responsibility in that, big time. God's not going to just come along with a magic wand and wave it over your head and everything's going to be hunky-dory. God said he came to give you a sword. He said he didn't come to bring peace. Amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about what our responsibility is and having a prosperous soul. Amen. So let's go to Isaiah 52, please. Everybody ready? We're going to read verses 1 through 7 together, please. Okay, let's read Isaiah 52. Awake, awake. Okay, let's try that again. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you have sold yourself for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says the Lord, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Amen. So, you know, what this is saying here is showing you that God's people were in captivity. And God says, in verse 2, it says, loose yourself. Everybody say, loose yourself. Amen. You have personal responsibility there? It's not saying God's going to loose you. It says, loose yourself. Amen. Loose yourself from the bonds around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion, O captive people in the church, O you saints who have gotten yourself into captivity again. Okay, this is like a refresher, a reminder that we're not wrestling flesh and blood, that we get ourselves into this stuff all the time. And we have to continually remember that we're not fighting flesh and blood. So God's telling us that we have the authority to based on ourselves, to loose ourselves. But this authority is based on revelation. First of all, you can't loose yourself what you don't know you need loosed of. Amen. Well, how are you going to know? Anybody got a clue? Judge by your fruit, maybe? Okay, how are you going to know that you need to loose yourself if you don't realize you're captive? That's a problem. Amen? So we have to remember to continually be aware that, you know, self-examination on a daily basis is very important. Everybody say self-examination. Not examining your wife or your neighbor or your house manager or your roommate. Everybody say self-examination. Amen. So once we recognize what we need to be loosed of by judging our own fruit, okay, we're going to loose our minds from thoughts that are ungodly. We're going to loose our hearts. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7, please. Everybody okay? Woohoo! Anybody want to be more free? Anybody recognizing that the battle's getting harder? Okay, if you don't stay in the battle, you're going to be a casualty. Okay, if you think that you're not a casualty or you can't become a casualty, you're just plumb prideful. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7, please. And verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Amen. So it says again, cleanse ourselves from filthiness. Okay. And what is filthiness? Filthiness is anything that pollutes. So anything that's polluting your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, that's filthiness. And it says to cleanse ourselves from filthiness. Okay. And once again, you can't cleanse yourself if you don't know that you're bound. And let's go to Obadiah. Obadiah 1. After Amos and before Jonah. Well, actually, it's just Obadiah, not Obadiah 1, because there's only one Obadiah. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to Obadiah, verse 17. Hallelujah. We're going to loose ourselves. What are we loosing ourselves from, guys? Demonic powers of darkness who are influencing us. Amen? That's called self-deliverance. Keeps your pastor less busy. It's a good thing. Self-deliverance is a good thing. And as you grow in the Lord and mature, you're expected to do self-deliverance on a daily basis. Amen? It really is pretty simple. It just involves repentance. But if you're prideful, you can't repent. Praise God. So let's read verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, praise God. And there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Amen. So we see here that after deliverance, because we're going to cleanse ourselves, we're going to loose ourselves, comes holiness. And then possession. You can't possess without holiness, and you can't have holiness without deliverance. And you can't have deliverance without self-examination and repentance. Amen? So if any of you think you're holy, but you haven't examined your heart lately, you're deceived. Amen? And you're not going to possess what God wants to give you to possess if you don't do these things on a regular basis. So in the Bible, Mount Zion represents praise. Amen? Mount Zion represents the church. Okay, and Mount Zion was a stronghold city at one point that David took dominion over, that David conquered. We have to conquer Zion in ourselves, guys. We have to conquer the strongholds that are in ourselves. Amen? Trust me, you're not going to conquer your wife's strongholds or your husband's or anybody else. So quit trying. It's unproductive, and it keeps your eyes off where they really need to be, which is yourself and your own mirror. So filthiness must be cleansed, or you won't have holiness. Amen? And how are you going to know if you're filthy or not? Judge by the fruit. Amen? If you're feeling like you don't have peace, if you're feeling things are out of whack, if you're running your mouth and can't embrace your cross and the purpose and the calling on your life or your job or your family, and you're grumbling against these things, then you need to judge your heart. Amen? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6, please. Everybody okay? Let's get free today. Second Corinthians 6. And verse 16. We've heard this all before. Just a little reminder, a little heart examination. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Please read it with me. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, or if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. So, you know, there's a place where we want to get past just being a part of the kingdom and being sons and daughters. Amen? You have to cleanse yourself in order to be called his sons and daughters. So these verses give us a lot of promises. It says that God will dwell with us, that he will walk among us, that he will be our God, that we shall be his people, that he will relieve us, that he will be a father to us, and we shall be his sons and daughters. Those are all promises, amen? So those promises are incentives for us to cleanse ourselves. It says in this that if we don't cleanse ourselves, we won't have these promises. If you touch what's not unclean. Amen? So if you're still touching what is unclean, are you God's sons and daughters? Well, you can say you are, but that's not what the Bible says. Okay? So, and this is not, you know, like a one-time deal. Okay, I cleanse myself. I went through deliverance. Now I'm unclean. Now I'm God's sons and daughters. This is a daily walk. God says to embrace our cross daily. Daily. We have to examine ourselves daily. We have to pick up our cross daily. Nobody said it was going to be fun, but praise God, we're going to keep our eyes on heavenly things. Amen. We're going to keep our eyes on the prize. We're not going to grumble against the circumstances, because does God know our circumstances? Does God know what your spouse's struggles are or your child's struggles? Does God know what your job is? Does God know that your boss is grumpy? He knows all these things, amen? But he's allowing you to go through it. So why are you grumbling against what God's allowing you to go through? That's your cross for that day. Embrace it, learn from it, and move on. It'll give you another one. Praise God. So these promises come as we cleanse ourselves. Amen. All right. Now, how are we going to cleanse ourselves? Go to John 15. If you do not enjoy, I mean, like, hurt so good type of enjoy, kind of like exercise, amen? Hurt so good. If you don't enjoy the pain of looking in the mirror and examining yourself, you will not mature, period. If you are too prideful to look in the mirror and are too busy looking in everybody else's mirror, you will not mature. And thus, God cannot use you. Maybe a little bit. I want to be used more. It really does hurt so good once you get used to it. Okay, let's go to verse 1, please. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that he may bear more fruit. Uh-oh. Every branch that bears fruit, he does what? So once you start bearing fruit, are you done being pruned? Hello. Pruning hurts, man. That little snip is sharp. Okay, so then verse 3, it says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Okay, so here we are. We're already clean. God spoke the word over us. So you think you can just do whatever you want and run your mouth whatever way you want and you're still already clean? You have to walk in the word. Let's go to verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So unless you abide in me, me being Jesus, the word of the living God, you're not going to bear fruit. Amen? So, yeah, the word cleansed you at one time, but are you abiding in the word today? Are you abiding in the word at this moment? Minute by minute, moment by moment? Because when you're not abiding in the word, you're doing it in your own strength. And it says right here that unless you abide in him, you can't bear fruit. And that's really on a moment-to-moment basis. Amen? So deliverance is the pruning, guys. Deliverance is the purging. So if you want to bear more fruit, we have to be cleansed by the word. And we have to abide and walk in the word on a continual basis, consistently. So there's things that hinder us from bearing more fruit. Amen? Have any of y'all ever been hindered from bearing more fruit? Okay, so we have to be careful and keep an eye out on what is hindering us from bearing more fruit. It's not God. So if it's not God hindering us from bearing more fruit, what's hindering us? Okay, where there's evil, where there's hindrance, there is demonic forces. I'm not going to get into whether they're in you, on you, around you, talking through you. I don't care. Get rid of them. Amen? Thank you. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. Christians can't have a demon. Who told you that? The demons that don't want to come out of you told you that. That is a lie from the pit of hell. I haven't cast any demons out of any heathens yet. And I cast out a lot of demons. Amen? We're going to Psalm 119, verse 133. I'm going to find it here eventually. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 133, direct my steps by your word, and let iniquity have no dominion over me. So if you're not allowing God to direct your steps, do you step daily? So if you're supposed to be having your steps directed by the word, do you need to be in the word daily? So if you're not in the word daily and allowing the Lord to direct your steps, look what it says. Iniquity will have dominion over you. Amen. So now you got the presence of darkness coming against you and speaking all kinds of junk. You haven't gotten in the word. You're going to listen to the junk because you haven't submitted to God that day. And now you're going to commit iniquity. That's what the Bible says. How's your prayer life, guys? This is self-examination morning, amen? And so how's your prayer life? How is your morning prayer life? How are the first fruits of your day doing? If the first fruits of your day, if you're backslidden from that, and you know it starts out with busyness, travel, whatever it is, if you don't get back to where you're supposed to be by giving God the first fruits of your day and getting in the Word of God, and God will only put up with you being babies and your pastor getting the Word for you so long, amen? You're to be chewing on the Word for yourself. You're to be allowing God to direct your steps. Pastor and I have to allow the Lord to direct our steps. It doesn't say in here that we're going to direct your steps. Amen? So let's go to Ephesians. So it says to let iniquity have no dominion over me. And we have to stay in the word and submitted to God, to the word of God, in order for iniquity not to have dominion over us. Amen. Ephesians 5, please. Is everybody okay? Hurt so good. Hard place. This is a sign of a mature Christian. The sign of a mature Christian is somebody who examines themselves. Amen? Not other people. Okay, Ephesians 5:26. Well, let's start at 25. No, 26. Well, we can start at 25. I like that one. This is one that's, you know, husbands a lot of times or men want to have dominion over their wives and say, you have to obey me because I'm the husband. So let's start here at 25 and see what husbands are supposed to do. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Wow. So husbands, if you're not loving your wife as Christ loved the church, he gave his whole life for her. You got no right to ask her to submit. That's the second half of what the men don't like to listen to. The women don't like the first part, though, by the way. Amen? Okay, so Christ gave himself for his church that he might, what, in verse 26, sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Once again, we need to stay in the word daily. So if you fall in some way, and guys, every day we fall in some way. Maybe we reacted instead of responded to our children, okay? Maybe we grumbled and complained over something we were asked to do. Maybe we shirked our duties and pretended that we accomplished something we were asked to do when we really gave it to somebody else to do. Whatever it is. If we fall or if we feel defiled, we need to get right back under the word so that we can be washed by the word. So when you don't monitor yourself daily, what's going to happen is pretty soon the devil's going to start trying to keep you out of church, right? Because if you're now in sin, now you're in iniquity, right? Because you haven't allowed the Lord to direct your steps. And so now we're going to be swayed by the devil to stay out of church so that we can't be washed. So now we're home staying dirty and polluted and filthy, which is what the Bible says. So does anybody have to tell you guys when to take a bath? You might have to tell your 12-year-old to take a bath. Sometimes, unfortunately, I do have to tell people to take a bath. But as adults, should you have to be told to take a bath? No. So as mature Christians, should you have to be told to be cleansed by the word? Should you have to be told to be spiritually washed and cleansed? No. So if you don't do this and take a spiritual bath on your own, you're not mature. So get over it. But I'm a graduate. La-di-da. Graduated from what? I'm not a graduate. Guys, pastor's not a graduate. And any wise minister or mature Christian knows they never graduate from anything. And I'm here to tell you, if you have an attitude like that, you are stinking prideful. And you can't recognize it. But we all do. Amen? So, you know, do you know we have people that have gone through this program, gone back to prison, fornicated, dumped their families, begged to come back, and then tell us they're a graduate? Whoa. Woe unto you. You ain't graduated nothing. And please, don't tell anybody you're a graduate of this place. Amen. You're nothing but prideful and arrogant, which is why you're going around the mountain once again. Amen. So get it this time, because this is a day to to cleanse ourselves, but we can't cleanse ourselves unless we recognize. So we're just shining a little light here today, okay? No condemnation, just recognition. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to habitually cleanse ourselves like we habitually take a bath. Let's go to Mark 7. Okay, Mark 7, verse 14. Okay, in Mark 7 and verse 14, it says, read it with me. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." So he's saying, don't just hear me, hear and understand. Amen? There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciple asked him concerning this parable. So he said to them, now these are his disciples, okay? They walked with Jesus, and now he's rebuking them. Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from the outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and he has been eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For out from within, out of the heart of a man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Okay? So that's a short list of what defiles a man. That's not an all-inclusive list, okay? But those are some of the fruits that we want to monitor from ourselves. And in Matthew, those same verses, because it's in at least three of the Gospels that I was reading. It could be in all four, I don't know. But it's in Luke 7. And in Matthew, it says, those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and defile the man. Okay, so if we want to monitor our fruit, the best place to monitor it is what we're speaking. Okay, so we're going to judge our heart, which is the heart of the man, the soul and the spirit of the man. We're going to judge by our mouth and our thought life, okay? Because another sign of maturity for a Christian is when a thought comes in, because that's the devil's job to put thoughts in there. That's not sin, guys. That's just the presence of evil. Just because you think bad thoughts doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you dwell on the earth like the rest of us. Amen. We're all subject to bad thoughts. We're all under the sway of the enemy. So, but when those thoughts aren't cast down and monitored for what they are, when you forget to ask yourself who told you that, when you become so prideful that you think that you can stop asking yourself that question, now it's going to start coming out of your mouth and it's going to defile you. Okay? So these spirits can be seen on you. They can be seen on your countenance. Other people can see it on you, but we have a hard time seeing it on ourselves. Amen? Your kid can see it on you. Your wife can see it on you, but, you know, can we see it on ourselves? Amen? Thus, we need the mirror. Hello. We got to look in the mirror in order to see it on ourselves. So if these spirits, let's just say, a couple more examples that weren't mentioned there. Anger, rejection, fear, bitterness. What happens is now you've agreed with the thoughts. They enter your heart, okay? And now they start manifesting out of your mouth. Because when they came in your thought, you didn't have the discernment or you were too prideful to bother to cast down the thought. You agreed with it. Now it's in your heart. Now you got a problem. Now you have to cleanse yourself. Amen? So remember the last time I was sitting up here, we talked about deny the lie, to recognize the thoughts that are coming in. So when we didn't get point A and we didn't deny the lie, now it got in. So now we're going to get to what happens. I mean, we all go through this, guys. Every person on the planet goes through this. We all have to cleanse ourselves. Nobody is above it, and nobody's better than anybody else. Amen? This is just a part of the Christian walk. We need a Savior, hallelujah. If you don't need a Savior anymore, you really need a Savior. Hallelujah. Okay, so now these things are manifesting out of our mouth. And behind all of these evil things are evil influences or demons. Demons are present. And that you have to identify them. If you're having trouble with your mouth, if you're having trouble thinking that you're somebody you're not when you haven't even, oh my gosh, these people, some people come out of the jail thinking they know the word of God, that they don't have to submit to anybody, that they're a graduate, la-di-da, but they can't even control their own mouth. They are so deceived and full of demons, okay? Now, if you think that you're a Christian that doesn't need deliverance, but you still struggle with your flesh, and you still struggle with your thought life, and you still struggle with your mouth, you're prideful. You need some help, amen? If you can't accomplish it with self-deliverance, then go through deliverance. And it starts with repentance and self-examination. Amen? If I'm struggling with something, I'll have my husband pray for me. I will repent to the Lord and ask somebody to pray for me. I'm not above that. I do deliverance all the time. I am not above asking somebody to pray for me. I'll ask my daughter to pray for me. Amen? Don't be so prideful. We need help. We're in the body of Christ. A couple other sins let's talk about. How about laziness? How about being on the job and trying to do the least amount of work you can do while you're on the clock and get paid that so much per hour? You're somebody that ought to be doing piecework. Amen? How about telling your boss you're one place when you're another? How about trying to get other people to do your work for you? How about doing things half-baked? That's not what I used to say, but I guess if I'm preaching, I better not say the other one. We'll call it half-baked. You know, God says to do all things as unto the Lord, all things. Don't do things halfway if you're supposed to be doing all things as unto the Lord. Don't try to be doing the least amount you can do and get away with it. You're not getting away with anything. You're lazy and prideful. Amen? Is everybody okay? Are we getting clean today by the washing of the word? So let's talk a little bit about pride. Because, you know, if Satan fell by pride, that's going to be the first thing he's going to try to use against every one of us. It is the first thing. And pride is the first thing that's going to blind us. And pride is going to be what's going to prevent us from looking in the mirror or cleansing ourselves. And we are going to be so stuck. And not only are we going to be stuck, but we're going to backslide. And then we're going to shame the name of the Lord. And then we're going to go around the same mountains over and over and over. And if you think you don't have pride, you are prideful. Prideful. Full of pride. If you think you can't be affected by pride, you are full of pride. Amen? So I don't want any. So I have to deal with it on a daily basis. I have to recognize it on a daily basis. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. But I don't want any pride. So I try to do self-examination. And woe to me sitting up here that I don't examine myself and tell you about it. Amen? Let's go to Proverbs and see what God has to say about pride, okay? We need to be reminded. We need to be aware. This is like a huge whopping demon trying to take us out in the end times, trying to make us fall, trying to make us not run the race and finish the course and you know, take the souls to heaven that God has for us to take with us. Amen? Praise God. Let's go to Proverbs 16. So while we're cleansing ourselves, guys, while we're examining the fruit, I really recommend this is the number one place you start all the time. Because without starting here, you're not going to recognize the others, okay? Praise God. In Proverbs 16:18, let's read it together. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Amen. That's good enough. But you get the point. God's got a lot to say about pride. If you're finding yourself bound up by some things as you're examining yourself, you got to remember, write this down. Pride precedes captivity. Always. Pride precedes captivity. Let's look at 18:12, Proverbs 18:12. We're going to be in the Proverbs for a while. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. You know, I've been grieved lately. I've been reading a lot, going back to Demonic 101 and re-examining some things I learned initially about the occult and how bound up we become. And I see so clearly the spirits, the principalities, those that have been assigned to this ministry of truth, literally pooping on people. And these demons are pooping on you and you're not recognizing it. And so you start judging things and saying things that you shouldn't say or thinking things that you shouldn't think, and then you become bound up. And really the whole matter is for the devil to take you out so you can't go forward. You know, I've been watching gossip running rampant, pettiness running rampant. I've watched those in the body of Christ that should know better than to listen to gossip. He said this, she said that, and give ear to the devil, and then start agreeing with these individuals or agreeing with their little cliques or petty backbiting instead of shutting it down, and sometimes as leaders. That's a scary thing. We shouldn't be listening to this. You're causing the little ones to stumble. And if you're a bad example and you're in ministry, you're causing little ones to stumble. And you guys know what the Bible says about that, right? So when you start judging something, like maybe you're asked to do something and you don't like that, so by your boss, by your pastor, and you start thinking maybe you know a better way that your boss or your pastor should handle things and start grumbling against what you've been asked to do, you don't know what's going on the other side. You don't know what other people are doing. You don't know what's going on. You just know you don't want to do it. So you're going to grumble and be a bad example and cause stumbling to a little brother or sister, have a millstone around your neck and get yourself all bound up. It's just not worth it. Amen. Just do what you're asked and do it with a humble spirit and do it in the spirit of excellence, because God deserves excellence. Amen. If you've come to a place and you've wanted to be in ministry and God starts promoting you in ministry and all of a sudden ministry becomes a J-O-B and now you're looking how to get out of it or how to do less, go get a J-O-B. Please. Amen. Ministry is not a job. It's much higher calling than a job. It requires much more death. It requires much more sacrifice. And if you're not willing to make that sacrifice without grumbling and shaming in the name of the Lord, that's okay. That's between you and God. Just go get a J-O-B. Amen? Amen. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Anybody getting convicted? Okay. Proverbs 14, 3 through 6. You know, God says, don't desire to be a teacher. You're going to be judged twice as hard. So if you're in ministry and you've got people following your direction and you're grumbling or complaining against somebody that is in authority over you, you better cleanse yourself. Proverbs 14:3. Whoa, uh-oh. Hey, guys, I didn't make this up, okay? I'm just trying to keep us all clean. Proverbs 14:3 says, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Whoa. You know, better just do your work and keep your mouth shut. Because God's saying that if you can't, you're a fool. That's what the Bible says. He calls you a fool there. Okay, now go to 14:12 and 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. I know this is a heavy word. I don't see anybody smiling out there. Everybody okay? Everybody say, hurts so good. Come on, lighten up, guys. We're getting cleansed. Amen. We're getting washed by the word. If you feel convicted, that's awesome. That means you're about to get freed up. Amen. Pride comes before a fall. I don't want to fall. I've done that all too much. Amen. So there's a way that seems right to a man when you're questioning your boss or your authority. I've heard somebody say lately, I don't have to submit to man. I only have to submit to God. How's it working for you? Hello. I hate to tell you, but you're still on the earth. Jesus had to submit to man. And you think you don't have to? Whoa. Pride. You are deceiveth. Proverbs 21. I've heard some wild things lately. I know the poop is flying, so let's just get. We're taking a bird bath, man. Okay, we all been pooped upon. We're going to get ourselves cleansed. I'm serious. Those demons literally just come and spew all over you, and you're just all full of this gloppy old poop, and you don't even know it. So we're going to get cleansed from the poop so we can move on and glorify God. Amen. Bird bath day. I'm telling you to take a bath. Okay. I took mine before I got up here because I fear God. Okay. Proverbs 21, 23 through 26. Diverse weights are an abomination to the Lord, and dishonest scales are not good. That means if you're judging somebody one way, but you think you have a different set of scales because you're somebody special, or because you've made it or arrived or you're a graduate, and you're judging other people, but you're not doing what you're judging, the plank is in your eye, man. God, that says it's an abomination to the Lord. Okay, verse 24, with me. A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Where am I in the wrong place? I'm in another time zone. I'm in Proverbs 20. Please forgive me. One flesh. Proverbs 21. That's for my husband. I hope he's in his Bible in the wrong place. Praise God. Let's try that again. That was good too, though. It's all good. Proverbs 21, 23. Let's try that again. You guys know what it says. I have no idea. Okay. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Let's read that again. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. That means when you're not too happy with your boss, zip it. That means when you're not too happy with your house manager, zip it. Or you, Did I hear correctly over there, Alyssa? When you're not too happy with your mom, zip it. Praise God. Because then you're keeping your own soul from trouble. Amen. This is about keeping our own self safe. Verse 24, a proud and haughty man. What's his name? Scoffer. A proud and haughty man is a scoffer. And when I hear the things I've been hearing, I'm just telling you straight out what God calls you. He calls you a scoffer. And do you know that a scoffer will not be corrected? Hello, you graduates, you scoffers. Praise God. Pride comes before a fall. Are you not tired of falling? Are you not ready to deal with pride yet? How many times do we have to go around that same mountain? There are some people that have such a stronghold of pride, and they're still unwilling to bow, and they've gone off in wrong directions so many times, and they're still unwilling to look at pride and deal with it. Destruction is on your way. We're in the end times, guys. If you don't deal with pride, you're going to die. And you're going to go to hell. And that's just the truth. I'm trying to rescue you. I don't care how long you've been in ministry. I don't care how long you've known the Lord. I don't care what program you've graduated from. If your fruit stinks, it stinks. If your mouth runs, you're full of pride. You're a scoffer. Get it. Say hard word. I love you. Praise God. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 32:26. So, if anybody recognizes that they may have listened to the voice of pride, or it may have been pooped upon by pride, that's just the one I'm dealing with today, but, you know, it could be something else for you. We all have something we're dealing with. 2 Chronicles 32. Everybody okay? 2 Chronicles 32 and 26. Let's see what Hezekiah did about it, okay? He was a king. Are kings probably a little subject to pride? I mean, you're ruling over everybody. Are ministers subject to pride? Are those in authority subject to pride? Wow. We got to really watch out. And if you don't even have any authority over anybody because God hasn't been able to trust you yet and you're still prideful, you're really in trouble. Well, let's see what King Hezekiah did. Then King Hezekiah humbled himself. Who humbled him? He humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He recognized pride and he humbled himself. He and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So the Bible is saying that if you don't recognize pride and humble yourself, that the wrath of the Lord is going to come. Isn't that what that says? Okay, I don't like wrath. I like grace. So I'm going to choose to look in the mirror and humble myself so that I can walk in grace and not under wrath. Pretty simple. Okay, Jeremiah 13. This is it. All the way, that was back in the Old Testament, right, guys? Pride's been around ever since Satan's fall. There's nothing new under the sun. Jeremiah 13. This is not new. This is Satan's oldest weapon. It's what caused him to fall. If you don't recognize it and continue to recognize it as your major enemy, we're not going to make it where we want to go. Jeremiah 13 and 15. In my Bible, the little subtitle says, Pride Precedes Captivity. Read it with me, please. Verse 15, 13, 15. Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains. And while you are looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. But if you will not hear, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Say to the king and to the queen mother, humble yourselves, sit down, for your rule shall collapse, the crown of your glory. Wow, you guys. Wow. God's trying to crown us with glory, and Satan is trying to strip every bit of it with pride. Amen. Let's just recognize the tactics of the enemy so we don't have everything that God's given us stripped away. Daniel 5. God loves us very much to put all this in his word and to wash us and to help us to recognize what we've been dealing with. Amen. Please receive this in love, you guys. This is not condemnation. This is the grace of God. He wants us to humble ourselves before he has to humble us. Amen. And he will. Daniel 5:20. Everybody there? Let's read it together. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. Says it all right there. James 4. All we're doing is exposing Satan here. The voice of pride. We're almost done, guys. Bear with me. James 4. Let the word wash you so we can prosper and be in good health as our souls prosper. Amen. Hey, do you guys know that you can get healed today? That when you deal with this issue of pride as we take communion and you repent, that you can literally get healed today? Woohoo! Hey, God's a quick God. Get revelation. Receive the word. Amen. Glory. James 4, 1 through 10. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Read it with me. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants himself to be friend, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit of the Lord who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Amen. Let's read verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law and you are not a doer of the law but a judge, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? You know, the Bible says when you judge a brother or a sister, which means you're talking about them behind their backs, behind closed doors. And if you're listening to this, you're just as guilty as they are. God says, if you hold your brother in judgment, God sends a tormentor. Women are very prone to gossip, clickiness, backbiting. I know it's going on. I feel it. I feel the poop flying. Y'all need to repent. Amen? We're not in grammar school. We're in the army of God. We're not in middle school. We're in the army of God. Let's graduate from our pettiness. Amen? Praise God. So, we have to repent for judgment because God's already sent the tormentor. That's why you're in torment. Who cares what other people think about you? Who cares about, you know, being liked by everybody? As long as I'm in right standing with God, it's okay if people don't like me. As a matter of fact, the Bible says people aren't going to like me. I'm going to be persecuted. Okay. Praise God. Let's go to Romans 13, a couple more scriptures. You know, you might go to a church that has a lot of fluffy Jesus loves you words. That's nice. But Jesus loves you so much that he put this in the word. Okay? This has been a lot of hard scriptures, but I didn't, like, pull them out of some hat. They're in the word of God, and they're there for our cleansing and purification because God loves us so much. 13, 1 through 6, Romans. Oh, we don't have to submit to man, just to God. Let's see what Jesus thinks about that. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Is your pastor a governing authority? Is your house manager a governing authority? Is your boss a governing authority? Hello. For there is no authority except from God. So did God put your boss in charge over you and your house manager in charge over you? Okay. Do you have to submit to them? Are they perfect people? No. But you have to submit to them in order to walk in divine order. You're in the military, guys. Amen? The kingdom has a king and a military. And when you go out of order, that is illegitimate authority, which is the definition of witchcraft. My 12-year-old knows the definition of witchcraft is illegitimate authority. Amen? And witchcraft is as what? Rebellion is as witchcraft, right? So if you're out of order or running your mouth against the people that are in charge over you and causing stumbling to your brothers and sisters, then that's rebellion and witchcraft. Okay? Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on who? Okay. Bring judgment on yourself. How's that working for you? We're going to read to verse 6. Thank you, David. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you what? Must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. That's saying you need to pay tithe. Amen. You need, you know, people that are in the kingdom of God and have been given a place of authority didn't necessarily ask for it. They just said yes. And they do their best to be obedient to it. Amen. And God will bring you into a place of authority if you say yes and are obedient to those who are over you. Because unless you can submit to authority, you don't have any authority spiritually. Amen. That's just the truth. If you can't submit to a house manager, you have no spiritual authority, zero, and you're going to be the devil's lunch. Amen? 1 Peter 5:18, and then one more scripture after that. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5:1. Is everybody still okay? Are you getting clean? We're going to take communion. We're going to repent for pride or anything else that's been hindering us, anything else that pooped on us. You know, maybe you're somebody that's pretty conscious of pride and you fight against it daily. Well, you probably got something else that pooped on you then. I'm sure you can find something if you look. Hello. So let's look. Does anybody have anything to repent of before we take communion today? Because the Bible says that if you don't, you can get sick and die. Whoa. 1 Peter 5:1-8. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. If you're not an overseer willingly, not for your own gain, but for the glory of God, step out of the position of being an overseer. Get a J-O-B. Amen? Verse 3. Nor is being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. What? Submit yourself to who? Oh, you don't have to just submit yourself to God. Okay, good. Glad you got it. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, maybe you are being treated unfairly. That's okay. Cast your cares on the Lord, because he cares for you. He'll take care of it. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Do you think it's any coincidence that the scripture about devouring comes right after humble yourself? So if you don't humble yourself, you're going to be devoured? I'm almost done, Micah. 2 Timothy 3. We'll close here. Glory to Jesus. We love the Word. Keeps us right before God. The mirror. The Word is a mirror. Separating the joints and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. Praise God. The poop from the glory. 2 Timothy 3. Let's all read verses 1 through 9 together. Do a better job than you've been doing. Come on, let's speak the word over ourselves. Okay. This is a faithful saying. Am I in the right place? Oh, sorry. 2 Timothy. Hey, I caught myself early this time. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. But know this, that in the last times, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort, those who creep into households or ministries, make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Always learning, but never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The last two verses. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, and their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. This is a strong warning for us, you guys. Your folly, if you don't repent and deal with pride, will be manifest to all. Amen? This is an end-time weapon. We are so much more attacked by pride. The more truth you have, the more you'll be attacked by pride. There's a price to pay. We have to stay very humble. We have to stay on our knees. We have to stay prayed up, fasted up, definitely repented up, Amen? Because pride comes before our fall. Amen? So, anyway, I don't like giving that word or hearing the word, but it does wash me. I mean, it's painful to all of us to hear that. It's painful to all of us to look in the mirror, but it's supposed to be. Amen? I hope you walk away today with a much more humble heart, much more willing to submit to the things of God, to the army of God, to the authority of God, to his divine order, so that you can have more anointing, walk in more truth, set more captives free, walk in his glory, cast out demons, raise the dead. This is the desire of God. This is the purpose of this word. It's not to condemn you. It's to call you up higher. Amen. What you've grumbled against in the things of God, repent for today. Let's cleanse ourselves and come up higher. Amen. God's got such a big job for us to do. I don't want to lose any of you. I don't want to lose any of you. Pastor doesn't want to lose any of you. I don't want to be lost. I am just as subject to this as any of you. If you found that you were ministering in love and enjoying the work of the Lord and now you're grumbling against it, my God, repent. If you can't get out of that, go get a job. Amen? I don't want the wrath of God coming upon you. Amen? Hallelujah. It's hard to be a minister of the gospel. It's hard to carry this much truth. And it's so well worth it. Woo-hoo! What we've got waiting for us. It's all worth it. It's worth the fight. Let's fight.